afternoon, everyone. All right, so let me first give you a quick overview of the coming week. Tomorrow, I will be in the Wairarapa with Minister O'Connor providing an update on the government's response to MBOVIS and how we are tracking on eradication and the support we're offering to our rural community to bounce back from the disease and the impacts it has had. On Wednesday, I will be in Auckland with Minister Whawhai, where I'll be making an announcement alongside him around predatory lending. On Thursday, I'll be launching the government's Women and Girls Sports Strategy, and on Friday, I have various events in Auckland. I want to make a few comments on the issue of fuel prices. There has been reporting in recent days on the price of fuel, and for good reason. I am hugely concerned at the level of price that consumers are currently paying at the pump for fuel. It is an unavoidable cost for many. The international price of crude oil has risen almost 30% just this year, but that doesn't tell us the full picture of what is going on in New Zealand. In 2008, we had one of the lowest pre-tax costs in the OECD. Today, New Zealand has the highest pre-tax cost for fuel in the OECD. Between 2008 and 2017, the margins importers were taking for themselves more than doubled, from 7% to 16%. That increase represents a transfer of wealth from petrol consumers to producers to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars a year. To break it down just a little bit further, between the 27th of October 2017 and 28th September 2018, this is where we have data, petrol prices have risen roughly 39 cents, of which 6.8 cents at that point could be attributed to taxes and levies, 22 cents roughly to importer costs, and 9.8 cents to importer margins. I do not see that as acceptable. We also have different fuel prices between the South Island and Wellington versus the rest of the North Island. While there may be a slightly high cost of transportation in the South Island, it is no way near equivalent to the difference in fuel prices now. Prior to the 2015, fuel prices were reasonably similar across the country, but by 2017, average gross margins of South Island and Wellington had grown to almost 10 cents versus the rest of the North Island. Now, nearly all countries in the OECD pay more than 50% of tax on the cost of fuel. That's the cost of governments investing in infrastructure that we all need to use. Fuel excise in New Zealand is one of the lower ones in the OECD, around fifth lowest. When we add excise and fuel costs together, our fuel prices are the 20th lowest out of 33 OECD countries. But I want to remind you again, pre-tax, as of today, we are the highest cost per fuel in the OECD. And some of that cannot be explained. I do not think that is acceptable. Given the concerns about anti-competitive behaviour in the fuel market, we are going to be prioritising the passing of the Commerce Amendment Bill through second and third reading in the House when we resume next week. My expectation is that it will complete all stages by the second sitting week. This bill will create the ability to undertake market studies and will compel companies to produce information to the Commerce Commission to fully understand how markets are functioning. Once the bill has been passed, there will be a one-month transition period before the Act comes into force. We're going to make use of that transition period. Minister Whawhai will seek nominations from fellow ministers for possible market studies. I will be nominating the fuel market as a priority area. Minister Whawhai will then take a paper through Cabinet and have the terms of reference for that market study agreed, which he will then consult on. That is a statutory requirement. The study I anticipate will report back next year and we will prioritise a response to it. I want to acknowledge that we have been here before. The last government tried to undertake such a review but struggled to get the cooperation of the fuel industry. That is why we are passing legislation that will allow us to undertake a full market study and will require their proper cooperation. I have ministers with me if you have any further lines of questioning around that piece of work.
Provincer, would you like to see petrol companies less profitable?
Well, certainly, you know, you cannot tell me that we do not have an issue in New Zealand when we have the highest pre-tax fuel price in the OECD, and that it's gone up by such a significant amount, 39 cents in a year, 39 cents. That's incredible. The importer margin has been part of that increase, and some of it you simply cannot find the explanation for. I don't think that is acceptable. New Zealand consumers, in my book, are being fleeced.
Would you consider putting a temporary hold on the excise, the part that you can control, while this takes place?
Yeah, and looking, as I've said, in the last year, a 39 cent increase. Excise has been a small, small part of that. The issue we have is even if we remove that excise, I cannot guarantee that fuel companies would not simply absorb that themselves and that consumers would pay the same price.
Do you feel like there's been a bit of bad luck on your part, that there's been a lot of publicity around the excise, and do you feel like things are conspiring against you and under control?
Look, I think we have to look at the reality, and when you see that there has been, you know, in such a small amount of time, a 39 cent increase for consumers, and we cannot find a good explanation for why they're paying it, it's up to us to do something about it. We've got to look at what's happening with the fuel industry. They haven't opened up their books to us in the past. We're going to have to force their hand.
What do you hope the tangible outcome of the Comptroller review would be?
Well, we did, as I've said, we did have a piece of work that was undertaken in 2017. Now, that found that we, quote, cannot definitely say that fuel prices in New Zealand are reasonable. Now, that study didn't go as far as they would have liked to have, but we do know that there are options available. For instance, regulating to force existing suppliers to provide fuel terminal access to new market entrants. That might in part explain what we see happening in Wellington. Wellington has a higher fuel price on average than what we're even seeing in Auckland. That's not reasonable. We need to do something about it.
Do you think that fuel companies are engaging in anti-competitive behaviour?
The reason we need to access this, to access what's going on amongst fuel companies, is to be able to answer those questions.
So you talk greater competition, you're definitely not talking about price controls.
Well, the option that I've just set out is about greater competition, and we know that it's obviously had an impact because you just have to look at the price differential between the South Island and Wellington and the likes of other parts of the country, including Auckland, which cannot simply be explained through transport costs.
So the fuel companies would argue that the margins are just getting back to where they were before they fell to unsustainable levels in the early 2000s, and that the profits are being used to update the infrastructure and make it safer. I mean, is there a danger here that you're going to push the fuel companies back into an unsustainable era where they're not renewing their infrastructure?
Yeah, I mean, this is a significant increase that we're seeing if you're talking about from a refining perspective. My understanding is around 19 cents per litre since the start of the year is simply around the landed cost. That's refining component, quality premium, New Zealand specifications and shipping component. But that's an incredible increase in a very short space of time, and not all of it can we find an explanation for. That's why the work of the Commerce Commission would be so important and being able to answer some of those questions.
Prime Minister, has Canberra decided whether to accept the ACC's call to hike their income tax?
Sorry, whether or not...
Has Canberra considered the ACC call to hike their income tax?
What do you say to people who are, you know, these school holidays or gearing up for the summer holidays, wanting to go on a road trip, or the people trying to get to work? This doesn't really help them right now, does it?
Yeah, not immediately, but we do need to do something about this. Now, as I said, a 39 cent increase, and yet we cannot demonstrate or tell New Zealanders exactly why that has happened here in New Zealand when relative to the OECD it hasn't. Yes, there's been a change in the dollar and the price of oil, but that doesn't go all the way to explaining what we are experiencing at the pump. So we've heard them, we've got to do something about it. We are going to move as quickly as we can to change the law so we can look at fuel companies.
But your government hasn't helped by putting a regional fuel tax in place in Auckland and also raising excise.
Keeping in mind, we're talking 39 cents, excise is 3.5. There's something much bigger going on here. that regardless of what's happening with excise, we should be looking at.
AA wants you to take GST or fuel, let's assume that's not an option.
Again, it wouldn't answer all of the issue that we have here, and I couldn't hand on heart say if fuel companies wouldn't just gobble that up anyway.
Just to clarify, will that go through urgency next week?
My expectation is that we should be able to get it through in the first 2 weeks regardless, because it's at second reading.
Do you have any other options apart from
there is around transparency, ensuring that fuel wholesalers have post-terminal gate prices for petrol and diesel on display, regulating the contract terms between distributors and suppliers, and there's issues around vertical integration. So there are other options there, but again, having the Commerce Commission look closely means that we can make sure that we finally target what's going to make the biggest difference. I won't allow ministers to make any additional comment on any of those areas. That one covers the Commerce Commission and one obviously the energy markets.
Just on the issue of the lack of competition in the South Island and the Wellington region, that one of the things that I've had MBIE in parallel doing some work on this as well, that they've talked about whether they've given me some advice about whether or not we could look at opening up terminals for greater competition. But of course, we do now have the terminal being built at Timaru, which will allow new entrants to come into the South Island market, we'll be watching very closely to see if that aligns the pricing around the South Island more closely with what's happening in the Upper North Island.
Any other questions on fuel? Not on fuel?
Just on fuel, which company is responsible, do you think, for this increase in margins? It seems to have been closely aligned to the change to Z Energy.
I'm not going to call that out specifically. That's what we're going to utilise the Commerce Commission for.
Do you think the Commerce Commission made a mistake by allowing Z Energy to buy companies?
I'm not going to again make an individual comment on that. I think we need to look at the industry as a whole.
Regarding the, you mentioned transparency, regulated contract terms, and other options that you have, would you, if you were to implement any of that, would that be post-market study, or would you hold that as a...
Post-market study. We want to see what the Commerce Commission comes back with. We want to make sure that whatever we do is going to make the biggest difference possible for consumers.
Should companies be legally mandated?
Should
companies be legally mandated to sell petrol at the same price as all of them?
Again, I'm not going to preempt any of that. Of course, there will be transportation costs here, but what I'm saying is that there definitely seems to be an indication of there being a competition issue in the Wellington and South Island.
Outside of the investigation, as a moral stance, do you think different to be wrong?
As a moral stance, I think New Zealanders are paying too much. All right, on other issues then.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Prime Minister, would you expect officials under your government to shop out access to New Zealand official ship?
No. I have to say, I've just been handed one of the documents that was used in July of 2005, which details aquifers that, you know, for all intents and purposes, look like they might be for sale. West Coast Franz Josef was listed as one of the pristine glaciers that overseas investors might come and want to take a stake in. I find it incredible that we would have been in that position in 2015 and absolutely unacceptable.
How extensive was this issue at that time? Is it still continuing?
Oh, obviously, that's under this government. We've now said under the work that we're doing with the OIO that we consider that to be a highly sensitive issue. The notion that a past government would have been stepping, promoting it, when we're trying to discourage people from investing in that way for the purposes of exporting overseas seems incredible to me.
Energy's role, though, is to promote opportunities in New Zealand. Do you not see what Vinfresh Water
no.
does as opportunities?
No, I do not.
Where are you at in terms of your royalties?
Yeah, and that's something that Minister Parker will have a little bit more to say on down the track. We were looking at all of the options around how we could ensure that we do not see that ongoing bottling and export without there being any retail benefit to New Zealand. And there's another number of different mechanisms that could be used. But I think what you can take away is that far from wanting to promote it, we think there should be, New Zealanders have a much bigger stake in fresh water, and the idea of promoting it abroad just does not sit well with us.
Is the hold up of the royalties?
It does have some complexity around the kind of mechanism that you would use that enable, ensures that we stick with the rules and obligations we have from a trade perspective.
Given this we've done that just for so long, Paul, I mean, given EZTA was doing this for so long, will you be, I guess, taking a look at all the opportunities EZTA has in process promotion?
We have clearly, you know, fairly reasonable insight as to what they tend to promote now. Certainly, you know, when we take trade missions and delegations abroad, that gives us a little bit of an insight as to where NZTE's focus is, and certainly this is not it now, but the fact that it once was, I find very disturbing.
On the Kenlink road process, is using a Chinese company to build a road perfect?
I don't have detailed information for you on that, Tobro, I'd be happy to come back if you want to give me a little bit of time to look into that.
So one of the lawyers representing finally wrote in a letter to the investigation that an email you would receive about the issue that kind of brought to everyone's attention was kind of a blackmail threat and had very threatening language. Would you characterise it that way?
No, look, that wasn't the basis on which I looked into this issue. I looked into this issue on the basis of the of it being raised by an employee.
Was the email at all threatening?
Oh, look, regardless of how anyone would characterise it, it made no difference to the fact that I decided it needed to be looked into.
Prime Minister, the so-called, just at the back here.
Yeah, thank you, sorry.
The so-called tampon tax.
James used to do that as well.
I'm a bit taller than him. the so-called tampon tax is set to be scrapped. States and territories have agreed to remove the GST on sanitary products. Are you open to your government adopting a similar approach here in New Zealand to make these products more accessible, more affordable to New Zealand?
When it comes to the substance of the issue, accessibility and affordability, yes, we should be mindful of that and worried about that. We have NGO groups and charitable organisations who are, for instance, ensuring through and who are supported by the government to provide some of these, who are providing these products in schools, for instance. That's one thing we can do to overcome that barrier. Otherwise, though, we have no exceptions in our GST regime, and there is a real benefit to that, and that's why we haven't looked at providing those kinds of exemptions.
Just on Kenlink again, so a Chinese company offering to bankroll a road component to the Northern Motorway. What are the risks of perhaps being in debt for a Chinese company like that?
Again, I would want to look at the detail of what's been proposed before I would make any comment on it.
Your government has been very critical of China's influence in the Pacific. Could this be seen as an example of that?
Oh, we have examples of JVs across the country, but I don't want to specifically comment on any one in particular without looking at the detail.
Last week, the Department of Internal Affairs came out and said that they were spending $1 million on upgrading and maintenance for your house. Could you just provide a little bit of insight about what that money is going to go towards?
Yeah, my understanding is that there was a review undertaken before there was a change of government around particularly the security provided at Premier House. So that was instigated before we came in and completed, I think in 2017, I'd need to go and check. So primarily my understanding is that funding was for security upgrade around Premier House, and I think some minor infrastructure issues, like for instance, I believe that the leaking roof might have been included in that.
Are you happy with the $1 million price tag, or do you think that's...
I have asked for a breakdown as to what is likely to be, that's likely to be spent on. I've had a quick brief on what is included, but I'm waiting for a bit more detailed information. What it is fair to say is it's not a substantive restructure or redevelopment of the house itself, it's around security.
What kind of security? Are we talking fences, electric wires, things like that?
Yeah, before I get into too much of the detail of some of the security protocols around the house, let me first just go and get into that detail myself. I think the fact I'm asking questions means that I'm raising questions about that spend. But I acknowledge that things like fixing the leaking roof were things that probably needed to happen. Just our problem.
Doesn't Premier House need an upgrade, though, and don't you need a brave Prime Minister to say, look, we've got to do that, it represents New Zealand, to foreign secretary?
Yes, and yes.
So would you look at that?
I'm not looking at that currently, no. I will make sure we get the possums out of the roof, though.
But isn't that important, because it is a little bit tired and shabby, and we're having...
Do you mean the downstairs or the upstairs?
I do mean the downstairs.
Actually, the downstairs is the good bit. Look, you know, I'd say actually that I think the public-facing area of Premier House, which I'm very keen to constantly ensure is being utilised. It's utilised by government departments, it's utilised by community groups, and that's as it should be. The downstairs, I think, is actually in pretty good shape, but there are a few maintenance issues that we need to keep on top of. Will I be refurbing the bit I live in? Absolutely not.
A salaried journalist who's also an American resident was sadly murdered after he walked into a Saudi embassy in Turkey.
Yes.
Doing this week, yeah. This is a country we have a relationship with. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I have asked INFAT to make sure that they keep me briefed, and we share the concerns that have been raised by other countries. Of course, we proudly maintain and uphold standards around human rights issues, and so obviously from that perspective we'll be keen to hear how this issue develops as we have more information.
A group of women taking a human rights complaint regarding their access to abortion. Do you think there's a human rights issue in terms of the of women's right to not be discriminated against on the basis of their sex regarding their access to
Well, look, whether you cut it from that angle or just generally around whether or not our legislation is fit for purpose, I agree that we do need to change the law. I've said that consistently. That's not a new position for me. It's in the Crimes Act. I don't think it should be. Not in 2018.
And on the issue of the Crimes Act, the Law Commission Code Act is one of the recommendations. Yes. Findings.
Yes.
You will presumably make some recommendation on that.
Yes.
Is there any indication of what that might be?
Not yet, but we will of course be making them in public.
And it will be a conscience vote. Will you be putting pressure on your Labour Party MPs to vote a certain way?
So the letter that we wrote to the Law Commission gave some pretty tight parameters around our expectations. Removing it from the Crimes Act. My expectation is still, though, that we'll have a conversation with caucus around those findings, but there are obviously some strongly held views amongst some. But we are trying to, of course, ensure that what we're doing is really modernising the framework in New Zealand.
Well, modernising the framework, that's the geographical equities, the West Coast person who has survived Christchurch three times to get the right numbers.
I would have to know a little bit more about what's happening there, if it's around specialist appointments or what it is around the availability of who makes himself available for service. I'd have to know that before I could answer. But, you know, there are flow-on effects from fixing it in the Crimes Act, you would expect, around what would be required to fulfil the required criteria from a health perspective to access rather than from a criminal justice perspective.
Can I have a comment around adoption laws?
Yes.
Same
as it's always been, that the law is antiquated and needs to be fixed. Law Commission did a piece of work, over 10 years ago now, talking about how the law could be updated. It's based on 1950s legislation where predominantly we had stranger adoption. It doesn't take into account, for instance, Bahai adoption. My hope from opposition was to try and get that work started by having the Law Commission do that work, but it was unfortunately voted down. We probably would have a new bill by now had we done that. Instead, now we are asking the Ministry of Justice to include it in their work programme. I spoke just this morning with the Minister about that. It is on their work programme. It is complex, though, so it is going to take them a little bit of time.
So how quickly could something actually come in?
Yeah, it won't be fast. Basic legislation can take a year. This is not basic legislation, so it will take a little bit longer, but it is on our work programme.
On your clean water policy, how do you... On the clean water, on your clean water policy, how do you keep farmers happy?
Yeah, and do you know what, I think the farming community knows that, and there is some excellent practice out there already around riparian planting, fencing of waterways, an acknowledgement that you can lift the value of what you're producing without necessarily intensifying. So from the conversations I've had with the farming leadership group, I'm greatly encouraged. They share our ambition for improving the quality of our waterways in New Zealand.
That's not across the board though, is it?
Oh, I think it would do a disservice to the farming community to indicate that there wasn't a desire to improve the quality of our water.
They say a lot of that work is already underway though on repair and planting, for example, it's been happening for years, but we haven't seen a vast improvement in our water quality as a result of that. So that's what it says, don't we need, I guess, give them a bit of a actually make a change?
Yeah, and so look, there are other things that are happening alongside that. We are investing more in compliance and enforcement for the small number that aren't fulfilling their obligations. We have invested in an overseer farm management tool, which is around measuring nutrient use. So that means that we can go right down to individual farm management plans. So that's a tool that will help farmers achieve those goals as well. Of course, it's the work that we're doing around the national policy statement and so on, which we'll talk about future intensification. So it's about building up a package. But again, I do think that there is a shared ambition here. It will take a number of years for us to turn around what has been the degradation of our water and our rivers and to make them swimmable. But our first priority is to stop the degradation and then to work towards improvement.
A big part of that package is a lot of an allocation model. And the road department said today basically that they would never accept that. That was just something policy they would never be able to accept. Is this a limit of collaboration? Is there,
no,
are you not going to always be able to take these initiatives with you?
I think that there's still a conversation to be had. There are parts of New Zealand where within existing catchment where there'll be land that is underutilized and that doesn't have current access, and there's areas that do. It's about having a conversation about what's fair as we move into a space where that land might be developed and utilized.
The Japanese Prime Minister has said that he would welcome, his country would welcome the UK's entry into the CDTPP with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
What's our position on that?
Yeah, I mean, for us, as with all CPT nations, we're all CPTPP nations, we're all subject to a renegotiation period if anyone wishes to come in. This is one of the bases on which we said it was better to be in rather than out, because, of course, there is the likelihood that markets we want to ensure we continue to have access to may wish to opt in. It's not automatic, though, so we do have the ability to argue from our individual perspective the things we want to protect and preserve through that process.
But as a principle, we would like them in, rather than
out? Oh, well, of course, we're driving towards ensuring that we're one of the first that has an agreement post-Brexit with the UK, so obviously we want to ensure we guarantee our trade links there. All right, last question.
Henry's question. By having the allocation debate, are you concerned you're going to reopen the ownership?
No, we've made our position on that clear. All right, thanks everyone.